Grab your Bible, grab a journal. Yeah, that feels good. Thank you, Aust. Grab your Bible, grab a journal. Get ready to spend some time with the Lord. Thank you, Drew and Ruthie. That was an incredible job of leading us in worship. Thank you so much. All right, so we are kicking off a brand new year at Lead Team. Just trying to move this thing out of here. All right, great. And we are walking through this series this year called Comfort Zone. And what we're going to be discussing is how Jesus came to call us out of what's comfortable, what's easy, what's no stress, no struggle. And he calls us into a life of full devotion that is not always comfortable. And to kind of start us off, I want to tell you a story. Just about 9 years ago, I took this picture right here. This is a picture of me in the St. Martin International Airport with all my belongings and two suitcases and one of my friend's kids behind me. That is not my child. I have no children as of yet, but we'll see. What if that was how I announced that we were pregnant? That'd be pretty great. But no, we are not, and that is also not my child. But those two suitcases are mine, and it was a crazy season of life where I was in, honestly, my comfort zone. I was at my home church that I'd grown up at my entire life. I had finished college. I was working at my church. I was probably going to be the next person in line to be the senior pastor at the church, really. And the Lord, through a crazy set of circumstances, I can tell you another time and tell that story in length. The Lord decided to move me in a direction where I would move from the Caribbean, from everything I'd known, from all of the comforts and ease, really, that I was experiencing in life, to go to Dallas Theological Seminary. So I moved to Dallas on August 4th. 14th, 2010, and this picture was taken earlier on in that day. And I love reflecting on this picture because of what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the call on my life, and really the call on every single one of our lives to move from a place that's comfortable, maybe a place that's easy, a place where there's less stress, into something that Jesus wants for every one of us. Here's a picture of me in my dorm 2 days after I moved to Dallas, Texas. That's me. Well, I'm not in the picture. I'm taking the picture. But that's my air mattress bed and my blanket that I still own to this day. My Air Force Ones are in that corner, and that's my air pump. That was the room I moved into on August 16th, 2010. And the reason I start telling you this story and showing you this crazy picture of really the discomfort that I was experiencing is to remind you and show you that in so many ways, a lot of us, you and I, are comfortable. We're in our comfort zone, or we might be in our comfort zone, and God is calling us, is calling me, is calling you to make a change. See, for me, life was familiar. Like I said, it was predictable. It was easy. And if you're honest, some of you are in your comfort zone right now. You may have some struggles. You may have some challenges going on in your life, of course, but you have your friends. You have your team, you have your club, you have your plan for your life. Maybe you have the college that you're going to. You have the career path that you're planning on going on. You have a fairly normal family. You have all of your needs or most of your needs met. And sometimes you get a bunch of the things that you want. If we're honest, life is comfortable. But Jesus wants so much more for you and me than for us to live in comfort and in ease. Jesus came to call us out of our comfort zone, out of what's easy, out of what's safe, out of what's predictable. He came to call us into a community with a great cause. Jesus came to call us out of our comfort zone and into a community with a great cause. And that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. This is what I'm going to present to you as a part of being and serving on lead team. That Jesus is calling you just like he called me in that season of my life and still calls me every day to get out of my comfort zone where life is easy and predictable and into a community with a great cause. And so here's what we'll be looking at tonight. A truth about Jesus. There we go. A truth about Jesus. What awaits you and me outside of our comfort zone where life is easy and safe and predictable, and how it all applies to being on lead team. All right? So a truth about Jesus, what awaits us outside of our comfort zone, and how it all applies to lead team. So let's look at the truth about Jesus. A truth about Jesus. And here's that truth. It's this. He leads us out of our comfort zone by his example. Jesus leads us out of our comfort zone by his own example. And we see that clearly demonstrated in the life of Christ. I mean, imagine this for a second. He's the creator of the world, the God of the universe. And he's sitting in heaven, or whatever he's doing in heaven, and he is in perfect unity with God the Father and God the Son. And he decides that he is going to come to this earth as a baby, as a human being, so that he can live, so that he can die, and so that he can raise again from the dead. And look with me at Matthew 16, verse 21. It says this, and this is during Jesus' life here on earth, Matthew 16, 21. It says this, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples and to you that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Do you understand this? From the moment Jesus was born into this earth as a human, 100% God, but 100% man, he knew that he was on a mission, and his mission was the most uncomfortable thing that you can think of. This perfect, sinless Son of God was going to bear the weight of the sin of the entire world on his shoulders. Is that uncomfortable? You better believe that it is. Jesus did the most uncomfortable thing possible. Jesus sacrificed his life for yours and the life of everyone you know. Every human being that has ever lived, Jesus sacrificed his life on their behalf, and he rose again victorious over sin and death and hell and the grave, and you can go on. And so when I'm presenting to you this idea of getting out of your comfort zone, out of what seems easy and simple and stress-free and predictable, Jesus did it in the craziest of ways, in literally coming to die and to raise again. And so when he calls us to come get out of our comfort zone, he knows all too well what it's like and what it means to be uncomfortable for a greater cause, right? And so let's look really quickly at what awaits us outside of our comfort zone. What awaits us outside of our comfort zone where life is easy and predictable is this: a community with a great cause. So Jesus came, he lived by example, he modeled the idea of living outside of your comfort zone because there's something way better than a comfortable life. Right? And he calls you into a community with a great cause. I'm going to share with you what that community is and what that great cause is. Matthew 16, we just read verse 21. We'll go back a couple of verses to verses 13 through 18. Okay, so this is Jesus talking to his disciples then and his disciples now, today, in this moment, in this room. He says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And so then Jesus replied, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And he asked all of us that same question in this very moment. Who do you say that Jesus is? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this fact that I am the Son of God, I will build my church." And what? "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so we see the beginning of this community that Christ came to begin, that Christ came to use as a vehicle for human blessing and flourishing. He said that based on the fact that I am the Son of God, the Savior of the world, come to live, to die, and to raise again, upon that reality and upon who I am and what I am about to do, I will build my church. I will call students in 2019 into a relationship with me and call them into full devotion, connected to my body with other believers, walking in faithfulness and living as Christ would call us to live. He says, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. You see, we are all wired for community. You want to be a part of a friend group. You want to be a part of a team. How many of you have like a membership somewhere? Like you're at a gym, maybe. There we go. We got some people in the room. How many of you are part of like a sports team or a whatever subject club that you're in at school? There we go. There we go. Every single one of you. Yeah, subject club. That's a new word. I give that analogy or give that illustration to make the point to you. To me, come back with me. Sorry for saying subject club. That doesn't make any sense. I bring up that illustration because we all want to have a sense of belonging. Like we're with this group. We have this thing in common. We feel joined together as friends or bonded together over this specific cause or this specific mission that we're on. And Jesus says that he has given us a community to be a part of, the church, God's body, and he's given us a great mission. In fact, here's what I want you to know. Outside of the family unit, so outside of your mom and your dad following Jesus and teaching you what's true and encouraging you to walk in it, outside of your family unit, the church is the vehicle. When I say the church, I don't mean a building, I don't mean a place, I mean you. People who have placed their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus and gather together on a consistent basis to remind yourselves of what is true and to encourage you to continue to live for Christ. That's what I mean by the church. Outside of the family unit, the church is the vehicle through which God intends for humans to flourish. And so as you get connected and get encouraged by the body of believers around you, like in this room right now, where there's 150, 160 of you, God intends for your friends, your family, your peers, your school, your classmates to flourish, to experience life in a different way because of you being a part of their lives. Your friends should flourish in the way that they see life, and they should enjoy life more because they have you as a friend, someone who loves them, someone who wants more for them, someone who wants to point them to the way to abundant life filled with meaning and purpose, a relationship with God. The church is a vehicle through which God intends for humans to flourish. And so that's the community that he's calling you into. And he's given you a mission, and you've heard this mission so many times that you probably are going to tune me out like, oh yeah, I heard it before. But I want you to maybe take those thoughts out of your mind and listen to it as if hopefully for the very first time. So after Jesus was crucified and died and rose again from the grave, he gave the church. In other words, he gave you, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus and in his work on the cross, he gave you this mission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So he's giving you the call. Don't just be happy that you have a community of believers to encourage you and to strengthen you. He says, go. Go bring other people in. Go tell them about the kindness and goodness and grace of God that you have experienced. Show them the way to live. Show them that there's more to life than whatever they might be chasing and thinking that life is found there. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, which includes your friends, your family, your teammates, your classmates, anyone that you know. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you even unto the end of the age. And so Jesus gives us a community. He calls us out of a life of comfort and ease and safety and predictability and says, I want so much more for you. I want you to enjoy the community of God that is encouraging you and challenging you to walk every single day in step with Jesus. And that's why we have small groups here at Watermark and in Shoreline, so that you can continue to be encouraged and spurred on by the church, your leaders and your peers in your group. He says he's giving you this community and he's giving you a great cause, not just to say, I'm good, I'm going to heaven, let me just live my life, but to live a life that is worthy of imitation, to live in such a way that your friends are like, tell me some more about, you know, this church thing or this Jesus thing, or can I come with you to small group? Can I come with you to Shoreline or to whatever the event might be? Jesus calls you, calls me out of our comfort zone and into a community with a great cause. So, how does all of that apply to Lead Team? I'm going to tell you. Yeah. The goal of Lead Team is to gather the community, so you, Christians, together to encourage and equip you for the cause, right? So the reason we're gathered and the reason you meet with people from your school in different grades and different gender is because we want you to be encouraged. We want you to look around and see that you are not alone. On a Sunday night in August when you could be doing who knows what else, look around. There are so many other students in grades 9 through 12 who are saying, I want to walk with Jesus, and I want to be influential amongst my peers. I want to help others come to know the kindness and grace of God. And that's why we have created and continue to have Lead Team, because we want you to gather with other believers to be encouraged by the fact that you are not alone. But not only that, but to give you tools and strategies for how you can love and serve your peers, your classmates, your family. And you know you come from all walks of life, different schools, different experiences. And so that's why we split you up into those specific school groups to help you talk about how does this apply and how does this work in my specific context. So the goal of Lead Team is to gather the community to encourage and equip you for the cause. So if you want to join Lead Team, here's what I want you to know that you are committing to this year. School year 2019-2020, if you are considering being a part of serving God and serving your peers and families and friends through being on Lead Team, here's what that means. Okay? A student on Lead Team committed to the community that we've talked about, the church, and the cause of going and making disciples of everyone we know. A student on Lead Team committed to the community and the cause is, number one, evangelistic and invitational among their peers. So the first, if you're going to be on Lead Team, this is an expectation of you. That you are going to be someone who is praying for opportunities to share the gospel with your friends, with your family, with, you know, whoever you know, your friend groups. You are praying for opportunities and looking for opportunities to share your testimony, to share the gospel in 30 seconds if you're just hanging out, sitting on the sideline at a game, or just before practice, or while you're in your passing period, or sitting doing homework, whatever it might be. Students on Lead Team who are committed to the community and the great cause are evangelistic, are telling people about Jesus. and are inviting them. Every single week, you should be praying about and thinking about, who can I invite to my small group? Who can I invite to Shoreline? Who can I invite to fill in the blank event that's about to happen? For example, Hideaway. Who can I invite to come and see the God that has transformed my life? And hopefully you see how he's transformed your life. And you're continuing to see that in increasing measure. So Student on Lead Team is committed to be an evangelistic and invitational. Here's the second thing that you're committing to if you want to be and serve on Lead Team. It's this. If this clicker will work. There we go. Student on Lead Team is committed to the community and cause, is prepared, and participates in small groups. So I want you to think of it like this. Your area of service, or one of your areas of service here at this church as a part of this ministry, is to serve and lead your peers at small group. And here's how you serve and lead your peers at small group here at Watermark. You are ready to roll when you go to small group and your leaders are like, who's going to share the gospel this week? If you're in the same small group as someone else in lead team, you should be arguing over who's going to share it. Because we cannot get tired, we cannot hear enough about the goodness and kindness of God. That is an expectation of the people that want to be on lead team. That you are ready to share the gospel. That you are ready to share your thoughts on whatever chapter of the curriculum that we're going through. Like right now we're studying Philippians. The next time you have small group, if you want to be on lead team and commit to this community and this cause, like, you should be ready to ask questions, to share thoughts, to confess ways that maybe you haven't been living up to what Scripture is calling you to as you've read through and reflected on your time in God's Word. You should be prepared and you should be ready to participate in small group if you're going to be committed to this team. All right, here's the third thing. So you should be evangelistic and invitational. You should be ready. You should be prepared and participate, which means you need to be at small group if you're going to participate. Also, side note. And then the last thing is you need to be intentional in serving others. And here's what I mean by that. It can be so easy to just say, hey, you know, I've completed the membership requirement and I'm on lead team and that's my area of service and I'm good and I'm going to come here every time there's lead team and hear great teaching and be encouraged and walk out and be on mission for Christ. And that's great. And that's all a part of the purpose of why we have lead team. But what about the opportunities that you could have to love and serve those around you if you just took the time to, one, pray, God, what would you have me do? How would you have me serve my family, my friends, my small group, my peers, random people that I don't even know? How would you have me serve them? And so people who are committed to lead team, students, are evangelistic, they're prepared, and they're intentional to serve others. So here's how I'm going to summarize it. Every time we come to lead team, and this time looks a little different than the times coming up ahead, and I'll give you a little bit more insight into that. Every time we split up into our school groups and we're about to discuss, questions surrounding the message that night, the first question I want every group to ask each other is this: how have you fed? So how have you shared the gospel? Who have you shared the gospel with? And it's okay if you haven't. You don't have to have an incredible story of someone coming to Christ every time. But you need to be looking for opportunities and praying for opportunities to just share your story. Trust God with saving people. You do your part of sharing the good news. So how have you fed? By sharing the gospel. How have you fed? By being prepared and participating at small group. We're asking those questions of every one of you, or every one of you that will be on lead team. And then how have you led others? How have you led them through your example and through the way that you have lived for Christ, right? And then how have you fed them in the way you look for ways that you can intentionally serve? So that's a really easy way to summarize all of that. How have you fed, and how have you led? We tried to come up with some cool acronyms, so I go back here. Let me show you this. Kaylee was coming up with these ideas, so they weren't mine. She was like, what if we did evangelistic and then said led for being prepared at small group and then fed for intentional with serving others? And we could tell them the acronym is ELF, evangelistic. What's the L? I don't even know what the L is. Yes, evangelistic, led, and fed. And she was like, let's just tell them we got to be ELFs, right? And some people like that. But no, we're going to go with just fed and led. Kaylee, that one's for you. How have you fed and how have you led others? We're going to ask that question every single time. Okay, hey, let me show you one quick example of some people who are in this room and maybe not in this room, how they have chosen to look outside of themselves, to see needs around them and create an opportunity for service. Watch this.
Students at One Door Texas School are on a mission to look beyond themselves and to help the homeless.
This morning, they're giving their own time as they do every few weeks. Fox 4's Brandon Todd is in Addison with a look. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, guys. We're at Trinity Christian Academy this morning, and they are building, right behind me, building kits to give to the homeless. This is an effort called Reach Every Corner. And one of the students that came up with this idea a while back, her name is Danielle Parker. She's a junior, and she joins us live. Tell me what your kind of your dream was when you thought of this.
Yeah, so I started driving last year, sophomore year. I turned 16, and it was really exciting. I got in the driver's seat, and I don't know, everywhere I go, everywhere I went, I saw people on the corners, and my heart kind of just broke for them, and I realized, like, oh my gosh, there actually is a need. I saw it in the passenger seat, but it was more prevalent when I was in the driver's
seat. Yeah, you're going to see it when you're driving.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. So just, I was thinking back to when I was little, my family, we always packed bags together over Christmas time and gave it to our friends and family. And so I just really wanted to get behind that again and kind of bring that to my community where I spend most of my days with teachers, with students, with parents, et cetera.
Okay, so when you kind of broached this idea with a couple of students, you're thinking, maybe one or two, maybe three or four. Did you have any idea that this many students would get involved with this?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think that it would be like so across the board because we've had lower schoolers come help. We're trying to bring middle school on board. It's like all across the board, and I was just thinking, oh, it's just going to be a few students. But yeah, it definitely grew.
So tell me what goes into one of these kits.
So basically what goes in is some food, some water, basic necessities. We try to put in some candy, kind of make their day a little better. And then we put in these gospel tracts that are just kind of a way for us to reach them spiritually. And then also our callings little directory, which is a way for us to reach out to them and give them a long-term solution.
Okay. All right, Danielle, thank you. And
all right. Hey, here's where I showed that video. That's amazing. It's awesome. Let me tell you what's easy and what's comfortable. You're driving down and you stop at a stoplight and you have change in your car and there, you know, someone on the corner is begging you for money. It is easy to be like, oh, let me give you this change that I have here or this dollar. It is uncomfortable to spend time rallying your peers and saying, hey, let's do something. Let's provide for some needs, and let's also give them a potential way out of the struggle that they're experiencing. You see that? It takes deciding to be uncomfortable, to get out of your comfort zone, to see the needs around you, and to come up with an idea or a plan for how you can serve those around you. And Danielle and, you know, tons of people in that picture, I'm sure some of you in the room are going to be at that informational thing tomorrow at TCA for Reach Every Corner. But that's just one example of a high school student looking outside of themselves and their comforts and seeing how can I be intentional to serve others and not just go with the motions. And there's some of you that serve here on the children's team and with different ministries, and that is amazing to see you looking outside of yourselves and meeting the needs of others. Okay, so ELF, evangelistic, leading others and feeding others, or how have you fed and led others, right? So lastly, here's the last couple of things I want you to know, and then we'll split up into our school groups for just a few moments. So you're sitting in this audience, and remember, like I said, lead team doesn't have any members at this current moment. Even if you were on lead team last year or the year before that or both of the last 2 years, lead team is at zero, okay? Make sure you hear that. So when I ask this question, should I join lead team? Everyone is considering this question and answering it for yourself. So here are the questions that you should ask and answer prayerfully with your community group, your small group, your parents, people that you know and trust. Do I want to be a part of the community? And here's what I mean by that. I mean church membership. Come back with me. I mean deciding to be a part of God's body. Like not just saying, I love Jesus, or I love Christianity, or I want to be asked questions about my faith, but deciding, I want to be all in. You know, let me give you this analogy. When you get baptized, if you've ever been baptized, what you're saying to everyone that's watching you get baptized is you're saying, hey, I am publicly proclaiming to everyone around that I'm with Jesus, that I want to walk with him, that I want to follow him. That's what you're proclaiming when you get baptized. And if you have not been baptized, I would highly encourage you to consider it and to make it the next thing that you do, because that was one of the first commands that Jesus gave to us and to his disciples, right? So, do I want to be a part of a community? Involves specifically choosing to join a church. And so in baptism, you say, hey, I want to be known that I follow Jesus. I identify with Christ. In church membership, here's what you're saying. I want you to keep me accountable every single day. After this moment where I'm getting baptized, where I'm placing my faith and trust in Christ and demonstrating that to everyone around me, I want to be a part of God's body and raise my hand and say, hold me accountable, elders and small group leaders and my peers in my group that are walking with Jesus. That is what someone proclaims when they become and choose to be a member of a church. We're not trying to grow Watermark's membership, but if you are attending and a part of Watermark here, for you to be and serve on lead team, membership is required because we want to know who we are holding accountable to this community and to this great cause. It makes sense, right? So the first question you need to ask is, do I want to be a part of the community? In other words, do I want to count in this local expression of God's body, the church? So membership is required for that reason. And every month, there are membership classes. You can go online to watermark.org/membership and see everything that you need to do. If you are already a member previously, that's great. But if you have not chosen and gone through that membership process for you to continue on lead team, that is a requirement. Are we clear? Yes? Sweet. Here's the next question. Should I join the lead team? Do I want to be a part of the community? Second, do I want to be committed to the cause of making disciples, of going and sharing God's good news and inviting other students into what God is doing in your life and in your small group or at your church? Do I want to be committed to that? Do I want to invite? Do I want to share the gospel? Do I want to feed others with what I've been learning from my time with God? If you're committed to that, you know, you should highly consider being on lead team. Third one is, do I recognize my need for encouragement and equipping? All of us need to be encouraged. All of us need to be equipped with new ways or good reminders of how we should faithfully walk with Jesus. We just do. We get tired. We get weary. Everything's fun at the beginning of the fall. Everything's fun, you know, at Christmas season when you think of a school year. And guess what you're thinking about when it comes to April and May of school? How do you feel? Let's get done. Let's get done with school. Take me back. And you start posting your summer pics. And I'm like, what are we doing? Anyways, we all need encouragement. Yeah, you laugh because you know it's true. We all need encouragement and equipping. And so if you realize that that's something that you need to continue to get that that jolt of energy and encouragement by seeing other people who want to be on mission with you in the community with a great cause, then Lead Team is for you. Last question. Am I willing to be held accountable to the high standards of spiritual leadership? Am I willing to stay committed to what I said I'm committing to? I'm committed to attending Lead Team. I'm committing to be evangelistic and invitational. I'm committing to being prepared and to participate at small group. Not perfect attendance, but to be consistent and faithful. Am I committed to being intentional with the way I look beyond myself to serve others? Am I willing to be held to that high standard? Because we are going to hold you to it. And if you don't want to, that's okay. You don't have to be a part of this team, but if you're on this team, that's what we're going to do, okay? Does that make sense? You can take a picture of that screen. You can write down those questions, whatever it is. But those are the questions. Should I join Lead Team? Do I want to be a part of the community, the church? Do I want to be committed to the cause? Do I recognize my need for encouragement and equipping? And am I willing to being held accountable to the high standards of spiritual leadership? Okay? All right, there's one more slide I want to show you, and then we're going to split up into our school groups, and I'll give you a couple of instructions where that is concerned. All right? So hang with me. Hang with me. If you want to be a part of Lead Team, here's what you need to do next. You need to complete the membership process. So if you're not a member, if you haven't gone through Discover Watermark and this class 1 and 2 and shared your testimony and done all of these things, I want to make sure you understand that it is a clear process, even though it can seem like there's so many different random things to do. If you ever have a question, I want you to take the initiative. Write down this email address. It is so easy. membership@watermark.org. membership@watermark.org. If you know you're not a member yet and you have no idea what you need to do to complete it, stay with me. Email, take the initiative, lead yourself, and email that email address and say, hey, I want to be a member. I think I've done some of the process. I don't even know necessarily what I'm missing. Can you help me? That's your job to initiate and to lead. Make sense? So, to join Lead Team, complete the Watermark membership process. Number 2, complete the Lead Team application with a small group recommendation online. So, here's what that is. Listen up. This is very important. Again, Lead Team has 0 members. No one is on Lead Team. Right outside by the elevators are the application packets that we want you to take home and review with a parent. That's number 3 on that list. The Lead Team letter that you should review and the covenant, the commitment that you should sign with your parent. That's one part of the process, right? And then there's an online application form that you need to fill out. On that sheet of paper that's out there, it has the website address that you go to fill out the Lead Team application. Every one of you that wants to be on Lead Team needs to fill out that Lead Team application. How many of you need to fill out the Lead Team application? Every one of you. What do you do if you were on Lead Team last year? Still fill it out. Thank you very much. If you were on Lead Team last year, do you still bring the sheet of paper home and show it to your parents? Yes. You bring it to your parents. Come back with me. We're about to be done. You bring it to your parents and you show them, these are the dates for Lead Team. They're different than last year, okay, in terms of the frequency with which we're gathering. So you show them to your parents. You say, mom, dad, stepdad, guardian, whoever, can I commit? Listen up. Can I commit to being on Lead Team, which means that I'm committing to these Sunday evenings? even if there's a better deal game to go to, even if there's a better deal party to go to, even if there's a better deal, I don't know what else, I am committing to being at lead team. Does that make sense? Okay? So you're completing that application. Your parents are reviewing and agreeing with you, hey, these dates work, and we're going to make it a priority for you to be at lead team. Okay? And then the last thing is, after you get that application in, your small group leader, one of your small group leaders, whoever you put on the application, will affirm, I think he or I think she should be on lead team because they have demonstrated leadership in the past. And if they think no, there's a great conversation to have with your small group leader, right? And so once that whole process is wrapped up, we will communicate with you how you can get on our text thread to get communication weekly from lead team. All right, so here's what we're going to do. For the next 15 minutes, listen up. For the next 15 minutes, you're going to go to your school groups. I'm going to show them on the screen so you know where your room is. So the groups are TCA, and then there's Pierce and Pierce and Richardson are in here. TCA is out in the lobby. So listen up. I want to give you clear instructions. Keep sitting, Brian and Mac and everyone else. Just keep sitting. Not done yet. So here's what we're going to do. Your leaders are going to go to those rooms or, you know, that are on here, and there are signs outside of the rooms making sure you know where you're supposed to go. For the next 15 minutes, what you're going to do in your group is that the leaders are going to quickly intro themselves, 30 seconds. Here's who I am. Here's where I serve. Here's my small group, whatever. And if you are a returning person to lead team, a senior specifically, if you're a senior, or maybe you're a junior and you were on lead team last year, the facilitators, the adult leaders, are going to open the floor for you to share with the freshmen or the new people that are considering lead team why or how lead team has been a blessing to you. Leaders, there are discussion packets on the bar right out there. Everyone else, head on to those rooms.